Why, yes, it is. It's the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joining us today on this Tuesday. Talk K-State athletics, primarily K-State men's basketball. Wyatt, how are you doing, man? The last time I chatted with you, I think, on the air was back in November. We still had a lot of question marks. And I talking with a lot of people here locally as we're in the sub-state basketball in our neck of the woods, a lot of coaches I've talked to said, you know, if you told me to predict the future, I would have said we would not have gotten this far into the season. And a lot of people are pretty happy we've been able to play as many games as we have.
Well, I agree with that. And good to be on with you again, Wade. Appreciate the opportunity to talk K-State with you. Yeah, it's really been a remarkable thing. I did an interview a little while ago and mentioned to a guy in Colorado that here we are in basically the last week of the regular season with 13 games and almost, what, two-thirds of them plus are makeup games from what we've lost. K-State's been the fortunate one, really, from the standpoint of they've got Iowa State at home because that game was pushed back. But you look at the other side of that to give you an example. Here's Iowa State's closure to their season. They had TCU at home Saturday. They play Texas at home tonight. They go to Texas Tech on Thursday and then here against K-State on Saturday. So while K-State plays one game, Iowa State plays four. Baylor the same. So it's been pretty crazy. It's been a long, hard, tough year for the Cats, but I think here towards the end we've seen a little bit better play and some growth, especially on the defensive side. So, you know, it is what it is. You just keep grinding.
You know, in the state of Texas, they say everything's bigger in Texas. I'll say we're just everything's better in Kansas because, you know, KU and K-State. KU's through their whole conference schedule. They got their 18 games in. You mentioned K-State 17, and they'd have it all in if Iowa State didn't have issues. I don't know what the trick of the trade is, but the University of Kansas and K-State's done a pretty good job.
I agree with that, too. I really think that's a fair statement. And maybe some would say you don't really have a lot of control over that, and that may be factual. But I think just vast numbers has a lot to do with this, or at least that would be my opinion. And yet, having said that, there's part of me that goes, well, think about the teams that have had some issues. Iowa State, there's not a ton of difference between Ames and Manhattan. Lubbock, Texas, a little bit bigger. They've had some issues at Texas. I think at the end of the day, Wade, what we're saying is all of these teams have fought through this. Some have been pretty good. Most of them have been pretty good at trying to, you know, stave it off. But let's be honest. I mean, it's going to get you maybe more than others. It's just the nature of it, I think. I think about Baylor. I mean, they were idle for 22 days before playing the other day against Kansas. That's a long time to sit.
Yeah, they were very rusty against Iowa State, and they did not look like the same team against Kansas. You're absolutely right, and it's understandable. I mean, you take a break of anything. I mean, you work out at the at a fitness center for 6 months, and you take 22 days off. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to be a little bit out of shape when you get back on the elliptical.
Yeah, you are, and I look at our team here, and I'm just looking at my chart, and you know, we've had some guys that have played in absolutely most of the games, no doubt. But we've had a Montavious Murphy who's now missed 15 games because of injury. Luke Kosupke missed, I think the first 13 games with foot surgery. Casey Eziegu missed 10 games with knee surgery. So it isn't just COVID.
Yeah.
But Nigel's a perfect example, too. He's missed four because of the protocol. He's missed one because of an eye infection. Who knows whether he'll be back this week. So this... I've learned in working with Bruce Weber over the last few months that you better expect about anything because anything is possible.
Oh, sure seems like it. When you hear Nigel and with Nigel being out the other day with an eye infection, I'm like, is there anything else we can come up with for just happening this season? It's just crazy, and it has to be infuriating and frustrating for coaches and the players themselves.
Yeah, it is, and I you know, going to Morgantown, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really realize, to be honest about that on Friday when we left, that he was having as much of an issue with the eye as he was. I knew he had some problems with it before. Usually it's a couple of two or three days and, you know, you get it treated and it goes away. Well, this one didn't, and we're at shoot around on Saturday morning, and his eye is almost swollen shut. And I'm thinking, there is no way he's playing. And he didn't, and that was the right thing to do. You needed to hold him under those circumstances. And knock on wood, hopefully he'll be back. He's been in a really hard season. He's been a really fun story and a fun kid for me to be around. I really appreciate Nigel. He's a good-looking player.
Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, our guest today. Okay, so let's talk about the improvements that K-State has made before we talk about Coach Weber, and that is that there was a stretch there where K-State was not very competitive. They were getting blown out, and you started to hear even more and more rumblings and people getting upset in regards to Bruce Weber, and is he going to be back next year? But to their credit, they hung in there. They had a close loss. They're competitive against Texas Tech. Texas, they were down 17 and could have just folded the tent. Instead, they battled back and lost by 3. Oklahoma State, a good effort. And then Kansas, they just couldn't buy a shot. That was, I still say that was a winnable game if they just make some shots. And then TCU went on the road. And then, of course, the big one, beating Oklahoma, because K-State, everyone say it with me, owns Oklahoma. As number 7 Oklahoma went down in Manhattan, Lon Kruger apparently cannot win in Manhattan against Bruce Weber. And then the tough loss at West Virginia, 65-43. What about the progress this team has made? Because we talked about COVID, and it's impacted not just Kansas State. It's impacted a lot of teams. But I think it's where it's really impacted is the teams that are younger. And, you know, K-State was supposed to go overseas, and they didn't get to do that. And that's been documented that K-State kind of was up against it in regards to the youth and how young this team is. But we have seen some improvements, and we have seen some strides. What have you seen as you called the games week in and week out?
Well, you covered a lot there, and I guess I'll start by saying you said the first part of that right, that it's been a struggle, especially in that time frame where, you know, K-State's getting whooped a couple of times a week pretty consistently early in the conference season, and there were tons of reasons why. Bruce Weber has always been a defensive guy first and an offensive guy second. And that's fine. They've had some pretty good runs with him doing it that way. But with a very young team, they weren't in the beginning and or the middle what they normally are defensively. And then when you put the offensive woes on top of that, where you're not good enough both ends of the floor, you're going to struggle. And they did. They also struggled with bad passing and with turnovers and with injuries and all kinds of things. I mean, you could point to a million things. But as they have gone through the season here and had, especially when they started to get more guys back to be able to practice, you know, 5-on-5, they started to make a little bit of headway, and especially on the defensive side, that's been really the key, because offensively they're better through repetition. I think Saturday is a really good example. They've made progress. You know what? They shot 29% in that ball game in Morgantown, and yet hung with them on the glass. They held West Virginia to 65 points. There were some positive things, but when you lose, people don't want to hear that or see that.
No.
They just see the 29% and you're 15 of 51. And I get it. I understand. But the improvement defensively, and just the effort that I think has been underplayed. They're starting to understand how hard the league is, how hard you have to compete, and maybe even as much as competing is prepare mentally and physically for these games. They're starting to figure some of that out. And I think we saw, you mentioned a lot of games there. We were better against Tech, and we competed a little bit with Texas. But the game is all about two things, winning and putting the ball in the basket. And we weren't doing a whole heck of a lot of that. But they found a way to win at TCU, and then you see what happens with Oklahoma. Now, a little step back there with West Virginia, but, hey, that's a top-10 team on the road. I guess it is what it is. So I think part of me thinks I'm rambling here, but I'm trying to paint the picture that this has been a real struggle for lots and lots of reasons. But I do think, even if it's minimal, they're getting better. They still have a long ways to go in on the offensive side with taking consistently better shots, making better screens, making better cuts, all those kind of things. Once they start doing that, I think they'll even be more competitive.
One of the things that I love about sports is the enthusiasm, the energy, but also the joy of success. And I love, you know, lots of things I don't like about social media, but one of the things I love about social media is seeing these videos, whether it's K-State or KU or Oklahoma or a team with a big upset. I saw it this year with Indiana football, which was awesome, where in the locker room they celebrate and the coaches give the pep talks. And you can tell that the players really enjoy their coaches. Like, if they didn't like their coaches, it wouldn't be like it is. And so when I've seen the victory celebrations locker room, you know, Dowson, Coach Weber with water and the players, you know, won, it's relief, I know, to snap a long losing streak. That's relief. And then beating Oklahoma is pure joy that, you know what, no matter how bad our season's been, we at least can have that one shining moment, as they like to say in the NCAA tournament. You had it against Oklahoma. What about this? And I've talked with some friends of mine that are K-State fans, and some are a little indifferent. Some are just, you know, so against Bruce Weber, it doesn't matter what Bruce Weber does. And then there's a few that see it like, you know what, it makes sense for him to come back because these are, you know, we might lose these kids. There's some talent, and we're showing a little bit of progress. And to me, I've gone back and forth with one friend of mine in regards to, I said, you know, I think Bruce Weber, as critical as we can be of him, and you know what, losing stinks, as you say, and when you had a tough year last year and a tough year this year, and you look at the record in conference, it does not look good. That's obvious. Having said that, I think, and maybe the year with Marcus Foster, things went south, and there's been teams that Bruce Weber's had where maybe they couldn't keep it together. But this year, I think the coaching staff should get a lot of credit personally, and I want to ask you, because you're closer to the situation than we are, I think the coaching staff should get a lot of credit, certainly the players too, because they're young and could have easily just been like feeling sorry for themselves. We lost 13 in a row, and this could have easily went to where they didn't win a game the rest of the season. I think the fact that they've been able to keep it together despite all the struggles, we find out a lot more about a team and a person when you have to go through adversity, and Lord knows K-State men's basketball has gone through adversity. And they have had some shining moments recently. What kind of credit can you give to the coaching staff and what you see with whether it be a shoot around or before the game and your interactions with Coach Weber and the staff and the players in regards to the mentality when they were in the middle of that 13-game losing streak and then turning a bit of a corner with a couple of wins?
Well, it's an interesting subject, isn't it? Because I think let's start with Coach Weber. I think for the most part, you would look at him and see a pretty successful basketball coach for the most part. Has he had a pretty tough couple of years here and maybe been more inconsistent in his 9 years here than you would like to be with the highs and the lows? Probably so, yes. Some of that, I think, if not most of that, though, is there were a couple of years there where the recruiting wasn't as good as it needed to be, and I think it probably starts there. It's hard when you have such a young team where you have so many new faces. I'm looking at my chart here. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven guys of the basic group that had not played a basketball game at Kansas State going into this season. You can say what you want about that. What I would say is that's probably too many. Mm-hmm. And that is my point about the recruiting part of it. With that said, okay, I think you have to really credit these guys for exactly what you said. It would have been easy to shut it down and just lose out and go on. But I said this during the slide, too, that you would see the hurt and the disappointment in their face on you know, flying back or being on a bus or whatever it might be. And then you'd go to practice the next day and see a bunch of kids, and you couldn't tell yesterday happened.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt at that point, you know what, this group has a chance if they can just keep that kind of attitude as they learn and grow. And I think that has been the case. Again, that's not going to make everybody in the fan base happy. I get that. This has been a rough couple of years. Just to refresh everybody's memory, 11-21 a year ago and 7-19 now. That's not good enough, no matter how you cut it. It's just not. They haven't been real competitive in the league in those 2 years either. So you got to get better. Here's the bottom line for me, and I know you probably have other questions to ask, but the bottom line for me, because I get asked every day, Does he come back? Does he not? That's not my call, but what I will say is this. That's why they pay Gene Taylor a lot more than they pay me, because he's got to decide, you know, where are we?
Right.
Where are we going? If this is if A is what we want, and how, then the real question is, how do we get there? Can we get there? Mm-hmm. How much help do you need, Bruce, to get us there? That's how the decisions you have to make as to whether you change or whether you don't, in my mind.
Yeah, and I think, and you know this as well as I do, I think the frustrating part for K-State fans is the highs and the extreme lows. I mean, you win a couple Big 12 titles, and you can hang your hat either way here. You can hang your hat and say, if you're pro Bruce Weber, listen, he's done it before. You know, he's turned it around before. He's done a reboot. It's worked out. You can flip the other side and say, well, listen, we could get a young coach in here. It could have the same record as Bruce last year and this year, and we could be building towards something new and fresh. And I've talked with a couple K-State fans here recently as well, and I asked them point blank. I said, listen, if K-State was 7-19 this year, 3-14 in conference with a first-year head coach, what would you be okay with that? And you know what the answer is. They're not necessarily okay with it, but they, you know, hey, yeah, but it's his first year. He's building something.
Sure.
And then the comeback I have is, well, you know, Bruce Weber's kind of a reboot. So he's starting kind of fresh and he's trying to build something. Well, yeah, but we've been through that multiple times. And I think it's just the bottom line is people, I can cut this as simple as possible. I just think there are people that are like, you know what? We've been through this rodeo multiple times. Bruce Weber's at his highs, right. He's at his lows. I'm just ready for a change. No matter who it is.
Yeah, and I'm not going to stand here and say to you today that that's not factual. I think even within the walls of K-State basketball, I think they realize front and center that they've got to be better, they've got to be more consistent in what they're doing, whether it's recruiting, whether it's player development, whether it's retaining players, getting into the grad transfer market or the transfer portal or whatever you want to say. They just it just hasn't been good enough for the last couple of years, and I get the frustration. I do. It's hard, but you can't run from it, and you either try to get better or you start over, and that's again, I think, what everybody is asking themselves: is it time to start over?
Mm-hmm.
Fair,
right.
I mean, I think that's not my call.
Right.
To be honest with you, I really like Bruce Weber. He's been good to me. I think he's a good basketball coach. But you can't deny the numbers in the last couple of years. You just can't. So, again, I go back to what I said a moment ago. Are we following the plan to make this thing a little bit more consistent moving forward, or is there something we're missing here? I think Gene Taylor has to...
Yeah.
And again, he's been perfectly clear saying this, that his preference right now is to retain Coach Weber. But make no mistake about this, K-State fans listening, at the end of this season, whenever that is, you know, next week sometime, I suppose, I think there will be a set down and between those guys, and I think they will talk about a ton. It will probably be more than one meeting, but there's going to be, you know, some understanding on what happened. Can we avoid it? How do we get better? From Gene's perspective, what do you need from me to be better? Or the other side is it time to do something different? Again, I just don't know how that's going to play out. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree with you. Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, our guest today on the ticket. One of the things that stood out to me, Tim Fitzgerald was with us, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago in the middle of when K-State...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's napping right now. him and I joked about that. As you get older, you like to nap a lot more often, that's for sure.
Sure.
I mentioned to him, I said, you know, there's two things that stand out to me in regards to whether Bruce Weber's back or not next year, that if I'm Gene Taylor, you got to have a pulse of the K-State Nation. And I think there's two pulses that I grab locally. And one of the pulses is, how do you sell this to the fans if Bruce Weber comes back next year after two really bad years. I mean, that's going to be tough for the marketing department,
more than fair.
You know, because they're not using up all the seats now and we got limited seating as it is. And then the other thing, and this is the one that really got Fitz's attention, was indifference. I do know some K-State fans are just like, you know what, the heck with it. I don't even care anymore. I'm just worried about football. And that's the worst thing. And Fitz went on and he said that's what scares him. He said the fact that if people don't even care anymore, if it's gotten so bad to where we don't even care and we're indifferent about men's basketball, which used to be, you know, K-State used to be really good, man. People don't realize up to 1988 in the Elite Eight against Kansas, that this series was pretty tight. K-State had all kinds of success, and they've had success here and there under Frank and under Bruce, and that's Huggins was here for a year. They've had some success, but it hasn't been that consistent success they once had. And for younger people, they don't know what that's like. They're used to football being really, really good and have no idea that it was really, really bad in football at one point in time. What are your thoughts on that in regards to the indifference and just the apathy that sets in?
Well, that's what I was going to say. What you described was apathy. I'm not kidding myself on this. I think there is some of that within the fan base. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm smart enough to tell you what the percentage is.
Right.
Is it 50-50? Is it 90-10? Is it, you know, 20-80? I don't know. I also tell people this, you know, every day too, that at the end of the day, there are some people that didn't like Bruce Weber in the beginning.
Yep.
And no matter what has happened
yep.
through the 9 years, including a couple of co-championships and an Elite Eight run, they still don't like him.
Yep.
You're not going to change those people. But I don't think you can worry about that group. This is more about what you described with a fan base that really cares. And they want to be better. And they want to be more competitive. And they want it sooner rather than later. And that's the balance, I think, in some of the questions that Gene has to, you know, weigh out and what is best. He's paid for to do what is best for K-State Athletics. And that's why I think, you know, this who knows what's going to happen. Many believe, you know, it's just that they're ignoring it and he'll be back and all of that. I don't think that's the way it really works.
No.
I really don't.
No. I agree with you. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. So I asked you this before we went on the air, a little background.
Okay.
I have a younger sister, and you had two younger sisters growing up, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here's the off-the-wall question, because Dustin and I were talking about this earlier. I don't even remember. Oh, I remember how it came up. Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks, his rookie basketball card was sold for $4.6 million yesterday, and I heard that it wasn't you, so I know you tried.
It would not be me.
I was out of the bidding before it began. So it reminded me of when I was growing up and my sister got mad at me for doing something. I upset her somehow, some way. I was the perfect child, so I don't know why she got all upset at me. And she went upstairs into my football card collection. She grabbed a pair of scissors and she started cutting up some of my football cards. So that was a very traumatic experience, clearly, since I'm now 45 years of age and I'm still dwelling on it. So my question to you, Wyatt, was there any kind of experience with your younger sisters where you still remember them doing something, whether it was your fault or whether it was their fault, some kind of moment or memory back in your childhood where you're like, man, I remember that?
This is going to sound really corny, but not really. I am blessed with two sisters. One is 16 months younger and one's 5 years younger, and both have been so good and so supportive. My issue of that kind of stuff would have been with my mother.
Uh-huh.
When I first went to college, I had a couple of boxes of really, really cool baseball cards that I was very close to, and she decided, since I wasn't there on a regular basis anymore, that she could get rid of some, if not most of those. And I mean, it is what it is. God love her.
Yeah.
She's the best mother ever. But
sure,
those things you don't forget, right?
Right.
You just don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Way to cover your bases. How much did your sisters pay you to say that?
No, nothing, actually.
Oh, okay.
I've got one that's a surgical nurse and one that's a farmer rancher with her husband, and both work a hell of a lot harder than I do, and better people than I am. And it'd be wrong for me to say anything bad.
They don't want to accept the one. She's a nurse. She might need to help you out sometime. That makes some sense. Yeah. Hey, Wyatt, always a pleasure having you on, and best of luck. It looks like we're going to get through this basketball season. I know it's not as good as we had hoped in regards to wins and losses, but there's always the ups and downs of sports, but we at least have sports, unlike last year at this time when we were about ready to shut it down. Thank you so much for the time. Keep up the great work, my man.
Thanks, bud. Great talking to you, Wade. Take care, bud.
Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, the best. He joins us today on the Sports Ticket.